welcome to Season 3 of Marketplace Kingdom, the podcast series from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. Our ongoing purpose is to provide biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. We're committed to presenting thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who share their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian and demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own professional and personal spheres of influence. We want to share ideas that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Heising. Whether you're with us live or listening to the podcast replay here in the U.S. or anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. As we've discussed strategies for understanding and engaging our world biblically, one theme comes up over and over: the centrality of prayer and the presence of God. As Christians, there is no part of life that doesn't need to be bathed in prayer. There is no area that cannot be redeemed and transformed by the power of Christ and the present work of the Holy Spirit. Our guest today shares this vision in a big way. Charles Kim is a former pastor, church planter, and director of Korean ministries for the Christian Reformed Church, and is currently moving into the role of diversity leader for the denomination's combined home and world missions agency. Charles' efforts organizing and leading prayer summits over the last 5 years have placed him in the forefront of awakening a passion for prayer in churches and regions all across North America. He's with us today to talk about that passion and about the National Prayer Summit being held in Los Angeles on March 27, 28, and 29. We hope you're encouraged by our conversation on passion and prayer for such a time as this. Charles, welcome to Marketplace Kingdom.
Hello, everyone. Good to be here with you.
Charles, why don't we start out here with hearing a bit about who you are and how you got to where you're at, a bit about your journey.
Sure, that would take a long time, but just to summarize it, I was born in Korea, South Korea, and came to this country when I was 13. So as a teenager, came to a new country, and somehow I assimilated, and I grew up in a Christian home from Korea, and faith's been a big part of our family, and I can't really point to exact time and place how I decided to become a pastor, but I somehow God has called, and in retrospect, God led all the way from, I guess, being raised in Korea and also spending part of my teenagers here, and then now I'm approaching 50 this year, so it's been a long time, long journey, but God's been there all the way. So I was a church planter with CRC back in 1999, so planted a church at UCLA campus through CRC. But I did that as a tent maker, because working with college students, I knew that I wouldn't have abundance of financial resources. So I decided to get another degree at a management school, went to school called Peter Drucker School of Management at Claremont Graduate University.
Sure.
And I was a church planter, but also I worked as a tent maker as a consultant for some of the multinational firms. And 4 years ago, I decided to accept the position that the Christian Reform Home Mission, they offered a position as a Korean Ministry Coordinator, Director, and then now it's a new agency, merging of Home Missions and World Missions, and now I'm the diversity leader for that new agency now.
Well, excellent. Tell us a bit about how you became focused on prayer as a key focus for your ministry.
it was 2012 when Korean churches within the Christian Reformed Church, now there's about 110 Korean churches, so Korean leaders wanted to find a way how to serve the denomination, because I think as a Korean ministry, they sometimes felt a bit isolated, but Korean churches in its tradition, from its birth of Christianity in Korea, which was not that long, but prayer's been, you know, really a vital part of, you know, Korean churches. And also it has been vital part of also immigrant Korean churches here in U.S. So they wanted to share their experience to host prayer summit conference, focusing not only just learning about prayer, but also hope that, you know, we can join together as whole denomination, how we value prayers. And I know I grew up in a Korean church, and it's been just part of going to Korean church. Prayer, you know, there's a dawn prayer every day, you know, at 5:30 in the morning. Most Korean churches have that. There's Friday night prayer meetings that goes sometimes all night long. So it was nothing new growing up at a Korean church, but now being assimilated more into Western culture, I noticed that, well, everyone knows the importance of prayer, but I don't know in what way the prayer is the vital part of a local church ministry, or even individuals. Everyone agrees that praying is important, and everyone can cite scripture that's saying pray always, but I wonder in our behavior how much time that we intentionally set aside fully praying. So I guess we learning about the value of prayer, how we can really not only learn, but really spend time together intentionally praying together. That's been kind of the journey of Prayer Summit since its birth in 2012. And it's exciting to hear stories of various churches and leaders and clusters, how this movement has been now expanding into different regions and in the lives of people as well.
Charles, this is Dave. I'm excited to hear you talk about the passion for prayer that comes out of the Korean churches. It was in 2012 that I attended and participated in the prayer summit at All Nations Korean Church in Los Angeles area. And I was so impacted by the morning prayer, so impacted by the concept that the church needs to rally and pull people together every morning for prayer, that I went home to my church in Minnesota, and since the week I got back in 2012, we have had a early morning prayer meeting at our church every day since then. And I want to tell you that what I learned from the Koreans in Los Angeles in 2012 has had a profound impact on the church I pastor. It's been transformational in my life. It has turned our church into a powerful presence in our city. We have grown, we have healed, we have experienced transformation. The presence of God is strong. We are having an impact culturally across the Twin Cities. And it's really because we became a praying church, and it was out of influence and inspiration out of that event at the Korean church that I experienced in 2012. So I want to praise God for your heart and your passion, and you are having an impact.
Well, that's really encouraging to hear. And I think, I'm sure people or congregations do have special time set aside just to pray, but it's kind of unique that the Korean churches had this habit of having their dawn prayer meeting at 5:30 in the morning. That's really early. And I remember growing up just complaining when sometimes when our family had to go, oh, come on, 5:30 is really early, right?
Yeah, it is very, very early.
Actually, even while I was pastoring, in some ways I rebelled against the tradition of Korean churches. I saw I was kind of, you know, criticizing, well, God doesn't set aside time. So just because we prayed early doesn't mean that God's going to listen to us more closely. So there were times where I was kind of rebelling. But I think I remember actually talking with Dallas Willard, who's like my hero, while he was alive, right before Prayer Summit 2012.
Okay.
You know, I had a chance to interview him for the
Prayer
video. And this was right before he passed away. He had a cancer. And he talked about the importance of prayer as spiritual discipline. And I still vividly remember him saying, well, disciple simply means those who follow Christ and have developed certain disciplines. So the word disciple and discipline really go together. And I just thought during that time, well, that's so true. We don't automatically just become disciple. I think, you know, disciple is someone who really followed the ways of Christ, and he was sharing about how Christ spent so much time alone in prayer. And if he took that time praying and asking for Father's will, and, you know, how much we would need that discipline. And I think then I just remembered once again, 5:30 in the morning, not in legalistic way, you know, but somehow it requires just absolute discipline to do so. And I have a new respect for these Korean churches, you know, these elderly people, people who commit to coming out every morning to pray at 5:30. It just requires a lot of effort. And it's like as really well-trained athlete who will be so disciplined, you know, when he wakes up, he has this exercise routine. This athlete, you know, whether he or she training for Olympic doesn't eat fried food or anything they want to eat. They are so disciplined in terms of managing their body. So I look at this Dawn Prayer movement was the vital key for Korean churches in its establishment, even during those persecuted times. You know, Korea had very long story of how they were persecuted, churches were persecuted, people were martyred. But looking back how the church survived, I think it did because of, obviously God's will, really, these Christians who call themselves disciples of Christ had very strong discipline, and they were able to withstand any hardships or storm that was ahead of them. And so I learned the value of especially dawn prayer, how important that has been for Korean churches. And we don't need to do that at 5:30 in the morning, but some specific time which will require people to set aside and come out of their comfort zone, get together, and really seek God's will together. And I'm very sure that the fruit will bear out of that. So, I mean, I just relearned once again the value of especially dawn prayer meetings or any other, you know, prayer meetings that are set aside more intentionally.
Well, hey, let's talk a little bit more about that in the non-Korean world. I'm pastoring a church that has a lot of Catholic people in it and a lot of Lutheran people. And I'm finding that these people are excited and passionate about coming to church every day to pray. They grew up going to Mass regularly. They grew up going to the church for meetings. Now they come into church and they pray every day. And it's remarkable to see what's happening to their families. Children who have left the faith are coming back into the faith in their families. God is blessing them financially. There's a greater unity among their marriages. Our church is experiencing more evidence of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings when we pray. Our prayers are becoming seemingly more powerful or more in tune with what God is doing. Our region, for instance, our region used to have 4 witch covens in it 4 years ago when we started praying. Now those covens have left our region, and we have a greater relationship with our city officials, our schools, the ALPA program. And financially, our church has had great success, and we can't attribute it to anything else except prayer. In the praying Korean churches, what kinds of things practically have you seen the Lord showing and doing because of the prayer?
Well, I think, you know, God works, and, you know, He does listen to our prayers. Not that He answers everything that we ask for, but
right, yep.
I think really prayer is for our benefit, more so than God's, in my opinion. It really, the more we do it, we mature through that. And in
Talk
the beginning, when I was young, yeah, I was asking for a lot of stupid things, right?
Right, right.
Far.
Right.
Or, you know, more material things. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. People do pray that way, and I don't think we should judge, and God might answer, He might not answer. But the
right.
more we do it, well, we really learn to seek God's will, you know, as we mature through that. And I think Korean churches, I noticed, especially churches here in North America, these Korean churches, you know, many of the early immigrants came with nothing, similar to probably Dutch immigrants. You know, all they had was just what they were wearing. I remember hearing stories and testimonies of these people who came with $50 in their pocket, you know, $200 in their pocket. This was after Korean War. And they had nothing except to really go before God. And there's no one that could help. There was no relatives, no one in their community. They're living as immigrants. They're living as foreigners. And Korean churches, as they were being established here in North America, first thing they started was those down prayer meetings, which already happened in Korea, in Korean churches. And through that, God answered miraculously. God really does listen to our prayers and helps us to once again become better stewards, managers of what He gives us. So I know churches, you know, not that everyone comes out, but I think, you know, those who commit to come out praying for their church members, you know, those who are sick, once again, God does not answer everyone's prayer. You know, just because some deacon has terminal cancer, God's will might be different. But we are still called to pray and intercede for those who are sick, for our community. And there's so much to pray all over the world. No wonder I think Christ spent so much time alone praying for God's will to be done. And when I look at now, we're looking at some of the letters that Paul wrote to churches, he's urging Christians to pray for him. And if Paul needed prayer, how much we need prayer for our own ministries or congregation that we, you know, pastor. Or, you know, Paul is constantly praying for those churches. So I think prayer was so vital for just the life of church from its inception all the way to now. And the difficulties, we all agree with that, but I don't know if we can really do any objective, honest measurement of whether churches are really praying together or not. And I think the more we do it, the better we are at it. I really think the ministries can experience transformation. Lives will be changed. Our families will be changed for sure. So I believe in really the power and discipline of prayer in that way.
Awesome. Awesome. I'd like to just take a couple of minutes and change directions for a moment. Charles, our listeners have paid much attention to these podcasts all over the United States and all over the world. Don, how many countries are we reaching with our podcasts?
It's up to 66.
And there's translations happening in Asian languages and in African languages.
Yes.
And not just in the church, but also in even some political arenas. And so, Charles, we would be blessed, and we would bless our listeners if you could talk to us about how important it is for the church to pay attention to and engage in and anoint and send people into the entertainment sphere of our society, and how important it is for us to engage as a church. I know you've had some experience and some leadership in the entertainment sphere, and would love to just to hear you teach and tell us your thoughts and your reactions.
Sure. I have some friends who are deeply involved in the world of entertainment, so I really echo, you know, your desire to really pray for the industry that impacts our lives greatly. You know, I'm just reminded of how Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, pray for everyone and pray in any way you can. And he includes rulers and kings and, you know, those who are making important decisions. I think that entertainment rules, you know, this world, our culture today. So entertainment, which includes not just what you see on TV, it's the music, it's the fashion, it's the whole culture-shaping things, art. So rather than, I think, in Paul's days, those rulers and kings had significant influence over the lives of people, and I think more than our president or the senators or governors, I think entertainment industry rules today's world, especially when you get into the gaming industry, when you get into media, you know, when you look at how cell phones are reshaping everything we know.
Yeah.
And as Paul has urged Timothy to pray for everyone and in any way you know how, I really think more than anything, you know, we got to pray for this massive industry that's completely shaping our lives. In many ways, God will use, you know, entertainment or those who are in it in a very significant way. But I think Christians, I think we need to agree we cannot just sit passive because it's influencing us, our children. So we pray that, yeah, God will intervene with those who are in that industry, the content that come out of it, both good and bad. And there's really a lot of garbage in it, too. And we just got to pray. And this is a spiritual battle, right? So yes, the truth will be discovered and set people free. Sometimes there's so much garbage in what we see on TV and movies today. And so I think we really need to round our troops to demonstrate spiritually as we pray together for God's will be done.
What are some avenues and some ways that a typical church can have an influence in the entertainment industry? Technology gives new opportunities for us. What are some of those ways that the church can have an impact?
Well, I really think we just got to pray so that God will raise and empower new generation of leaders.
Okay.
And I think entertainment, once again, there's good and bad. You know, there's really good ones, you know, whether that has Christian story or not. I have a good friend who's a major producer in Hollywood. He says it very straight out. He hates Christian movies, although he himself is Christian, because Christians do such a poor job, right, with creativity and all that, and it becomes so predictable. He's a lot more in tune with entertainment is there to entertain people, but we can make people to think. And I love my friend like that. He's a producer, you know, of X-Men. His new, you know, movie they produced coming out about The Promise, which is a story of Armenian massacre that have, you know, occurred, you know, early 1900s.
Okay.
And it's not a Christian movie, but, you know, it really makes people think. The recent movie that just came out about which one of the First Summit speaker was involved, Makoto Fujimura, the movie Silent, texts. It's about Portuguese missionaries to Japan in early 1700s. It makes people think. So, I think we need to pray that God will raise up these leaders within the industry and within the church who will impact, once again, the generation with the content that is good and positive. And I don't know if it will happen automatically. It requires really the people of God to really pray that, you know, the more leaders like my friend, a guy named Ralph Winter, will come out in Hollywood. And now it's got to go beyond Hollywood. There's a Bollywood, globally. There's like these foreign movies have more impact in some ways. And also it's tools. There's a Netflix, there's a Google. It's all good platforms if used wisely. But once again, we just got to intercede for people to really pray first. And number two, yeah, we got to invest in these people who have creative minds and abilities to make these great films and products that way.
Perfect. So, Charles, there's a piece that our listeners, I think, are saying, all right, I've got a group of people in my church who are really gung-ho about putting little videos together, or I've got a rock band in my church, and they're wanting to put an album together. And so you're saying to them, go for it, but accompany it with massive amounts of prayer.
Oh, yeah. I think we live in a very exciting world. We can make a movie with our phones now. In fact, there is a special competition of these young people who are making movies with their phones.
Yeah.
So with before these equipments will cost like tens of thousands of dollars, but now our young people can do it with simple device like our phones. And it's not about now just how expensive our equipment is. I think it's really about story that we need to tell. And I think, you know, what an opportunity that as Christians we have to tell stories of love in many different aspects. And I think churches, I've done it myself. I'm not a professional filmmaker, but I take my camera everywhere, capture stories about what's happening around the world. So a few years ago for Prayer Summit, I went to Cairo, Egypt, and captured some interviews, and that's been impacting a lot of people's lives. And I think usually younger people can do much better jobs. So how do we empower them to come up with stories, how they can tell it from different perspective? So I get really excited the more we get better at telling stories, you know, whether 3-minute video to 5-minute video. We are really raising future filmmakers, right? Future storytellers. I hope that every church will allow their young people to help them to tell great stories that happen all the time.
Awesome.
Well, Charles, what you're saying lines up so incredibly well with one of the things that we've been emphasizing on this podcast since day one. And I'm hearing you say that Christians need to be praying for God to raise up leaders in every sector of our society who are going to engage Christianly in those sectors, be they government and law or the entertainment industry or business, to apply Christian principles and to bathe those sectors and those emerging leaders in prayer. Tell us a bit about this upcoming prayer summit and what's on the agenda for that. Because we want to encourage our listeners to get out there and engage in that summit.
Sure. Yes, I'm excited about the upcoming prayer summit. It happens every 2 years. At least people coming binationally, both from Canada and U.S. This year I'm excited because, once again, such a time as this. There's no better time than now. How crazy the world is becoming. and how divisive we are, both politically, socially. I mean, last year, there's so much that happened in urban, you know, cities, whether police shooting fairly, unfairly, and police being shot. There's a racial division and tension that has happened. And we simply just forget about it. And I don't know if we sense the urgency to really pray together. Assuming that people are praying on their own, and maybe churches do pray, but I think from what I know, I don't think we really intentionally and strategically pray together. So I think this prayer summit, we don't need to come to LA to pray, or we don't need to designate, let's say, March 27th through 29th, we're going to just come together and pray. But something mysterious and beautiful happens as people come together in worship and prayer. So prayer summit's been, there's just really amazing worship time. And, you know, as Heidelberg Catechism teaches us, yeah, in our gratefulness, so we pray. And something mysterious happens when we do that together. People ethnically, regionally, all diverse group of people come and pray. And we don't pray quietly only. There are times, yes, we do reflect in silence and pray quietly, but we pray in different tongues, you know, Korean, Spanish. We had Afghan person coming, you know, praying in his own language. It's so exciting to be in the midst of such a diverse group of people. And as we pray, as we groan together, as we lament together, and Heidelberg Catechism shows that we come to the presence of God in need and in misery. And I think in many ways right now is a very miserable time, politically speaking, because there's so much division happening, so much issues about the immigration issues to refugee issues and social issues. And I really believe whether, you know, 100 show up or 1,000 show up, it will be serious, very special kingdom party time, because we're going to feel the presence of God. We're going to pray in many tongues and see what God will do through us coming together. So I'm very excited about what is about to happen, and I invite many churches to come as a group, because, yes, if you're just by yourself, you know, it's okay. But if there's others who agree with you that we need to pray together, bring them. I'm thinking if thousands and even millions of people can march demonstrating, we want to demonstrate, you know, together how we can through prayer. We protest through prayer in seeking God's will, right? So I hope, yeah, as many people will join us.
This is the 27th, 28th, and 29th of March coming up. Folks can find out more about the agenda and the speakers and schedule at joinprayersummit.org. And what would you say the focus is going to be on this? I saw the information and it says, on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, I mean, we're going to seek together that God's will be done. And we use another tagline, it is our priority to seek God's will together, and also it's our privilege to do so. And we're going to pray, movement of prayer will spread into our communities. So we'll spend a lot of time praying for our communities. Plus, we will have, you know, missionary from, you know, Egypt. We cannot even disclose his name until, you know, at the prayer summit. Yeah, we're going to pray for the churches in Middle East who are firmly standing, you know, together through persecution, bombing, you know, and hostility there. So we're going to pray for Africa. We have a missionary coming from Africa, our own Christian Reformed Church missionary there. They had prayer safari in Uganda last month. So they were praying for all aspects of, you know, the Uganda, both you know, political, social, and economic. So this is a group that had really interceded for Uganda. They do that every year, going over different parts of Africa. So we're going to pray. Our prayer focus will be, seeking God's will in missions, seeking God's will in our communities. So, I'm really excited to see all the topics now being presented. And you can go to joinprayersummit.org to get more information about the speakers and presenters who are coming.
Okay. Well, like I said, we want to encourage folks to attend if they possibly can so that they can catch this prayer fire and bring it back to their local churches and their local communities. Dave, do you have anything to close with?
Well, I do. Just a real quick statement that when the church prays, we have stories to tell. Charles said that to us. He said, the entertainment industry is a great place to express those stories, but there's a close relationship between a praying church and stories to tell. When we're praying, we see God moving. And if we're not praying, we really don't have any stories to tell. So if you want stories to tell, come to the prayer summit, join in this movement, and watch what God does in people's lives, and tell the story.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Charles, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on with us today. We really appreciate it, and we're going to try and arrange to have Charles back on the call in 1 week to enable y'all to call in and ask questions, and we're going to share a little more conversation surrounding seeing a culture of prayer and passion for the presence of Jesus emerge in our local congregations and in our local communities, and seeing stories begin to emerge about what it looks like when God's transforming power really starts to take hold in that kind of way. Again, thank you so much, Charles, for being on with us today.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation.
Charles, it's been awesome. It's been awesome talking to you.
Would you like to pray us out?
Charles?
Sure. Gracious God, we praise you and we worship you for who you are. And we thank you for those listeners who are listening in. And more than anything, Lord, we know that you are as close to us as the breath that we breathe.
Thank you.
And we thank you for your presence. And we intercede for this ministry as people are being challenged to pray for all spheres of the world that we live in. May your will be done. May your will be done, Lord. And pray for the leaders like Dave and Don, that you give them wisdom and discernment to lead many listeners and flocks in an encouraging way, Lord. We praise you for who you are once again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Passion and Prayer for Such a Time as This, a conversation with Charles Kim. This and other episodes of Marketplace Kingdom are available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2017 Creative Commons copyright. Costs for our podcast and ministry activities are covered by the generous support of listeners just like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, or to find out how you can have Dave Huizenga or myself as a speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. That's empowermentfriends@gmail.com. If you want to catch up or binge listen to past episodes, they can still be accessed at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. And be sure to share Marketplace Kingdom with your friends. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. Until next time, I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Heisinger.
Remember, you are important to Jesus and to his kingdom, right where you are. Have a great day and a blessed life.